We're up to Perek Tesvav Pasik Tezayin. Perek Tesvav Pasik Tezayin. We are now discussing Osa. Osa was a very sad. It was a very sad story. What happened with Osa? Osa was meant for him to restore the Malchus, to gain control over the Malchus of Yisrael, to restore Klal Yisrael to one Melech. That did not happen. Although that was a failure, but generally speaking, he had a very productive Malchus. The Pasuk mentions over and over that he was a tzaddik. He did hatoy v'hayosher b'enei Hashem. Yes.
I understood what Asa did. He made this agreement with Aram.
Okay.
And Hashem held him accountable for
that.
I couldn't. Maybe it's something I didn't understand why that one incident was so critical in the eyes of God's world.
Because he was being prepped, as we mentioned before. After he succeeded against Cush and Gror. Who comes to him? Azaryahu comes to him and tells him, "Bimchazek yourself. The big test is yet to come." He was on a high, and it's not something that he would expect. All of a sudden, now he's being warned: don't go in the ways of the Shparchu and be strong. And in fact, he's mechadish. That's what we learned yesterday. Pasuk Ches: Vaychadish es mizbach Hashem ashlufnei ulam Hashem. The people they swore vayikboitz. Vayikvot is called Yehuda ben Yamin v'Hagadim Yimar me'Ephraim v'Menashe m'Shimon, and they got together and they had a shvua and they rejoiced. They did so many things. Things were going very well, and he was being prepared for the major nisoy that's going to come now. What to do with the Malchus of Israel, specifically with Basha and with the kingdom of Aram? And it was meant to be at this point in time he should continue having faith in Hashem and conquer Israel and the nation of Aram. And instead of doing that, he took the easy way out by sending a bribe to Melech Aram, which we'll see soon. So he was held accountable. We didn't get there yet, so let's go step by step. After he is mechadish the melucha, he brings the entire Klal Yisrael together, and they swear, and they build a new mizbeach. He continues to search and destroy, to seek out any remnant of the Zohar that was left in Eretz Yisrael and to have it destroyed. And Pasuk Tezayin tells about Macha. Macha was his grandmother. It was not his mother, but it was the mother of Aviah. Aviah's mother. At this point in time, she seemed to have a very significant position in government. She was a gevira. What do we call her? A gevira, like a queen or some type of authority. But she was evil. She was the mother of Aviah. Aviah, there were problems with Aviah. And she was worshipping idols and had a very bad influence over many people in Klal Yisrael. So he had the courage to have her deposed, removed from her position. He removed her, had her removed from her authority, because she made for the Asherah what's called the Miflotzes, an abomination. Okay, what's that beeping? Bring this up. She made for the Asher what's called Miflotzes. Miflotzes is an abomination. Somehow she made some type of idol, an image that was used to worship the Asherah, and he had it destroyed. Vayichvois also es miflatzta, also destroyed her idol. Vayodek, he ground it up into dust. Vayishroif b'Nachal Kidron, and he burnt it in Nachal Kidron, that no one should have any pleasure. This Avod Zarah should be completely destroyed and obliterated. Pasuk Yitzayin v'Habamos lo Sodom Yishol. Now, although it says here that he was a very great tzaddik and he did very great things, he removed Avod Zarah, Asherah, and the Baal. However, the Bamos he was not able to remove. He did not. V'Habamos lo Sodom Yishol. He did not remove the Bamos. Rak levav oso hoya sholim kol yobav. Now, what does it mean here? The habamos loisa. So there are different interpretations. Let me just tell you the outside with the inside in a few moments. But the basic idea is some learned that people would not worship, would not bring korbanos. We know that b'shas, when we have a Beis Hamikdash, you're not allowed to offer a korban in a private bama. So the question, but do the bamos need to be destroyed? Also felt that since these bamos were built l'shem shemayim, they were built during the time before the Beis Hamikdash was in existence, at a time of heter bamos, being that they were built l'shem shemayim, it's not the right thing to destroy it. You can't destroy something that was made l'shem shemayim, even though at this moment in time it's not in use. It's the black. Mr. Black? Mr. Black? He doesn't hear me. All right. What? So the don't worry about it. So the Bamos, something that was made l'shem Shemayim, he felt it's not necessary to be destroyed. But they were not actually worshiping idols on the Bama. Where do we have a precedent for this? The Nechash HaNechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when they complained that we have nothing to drink, so they were smitten by scorpions. So Moshe, they were dying, there was a Magefa, so Hashem told Moshe, make for yourself the Nechash HaNechoshes, and they'll look up to the Nechash HaNechoshes, and they'll be cured. But look up to the Nechash HaNechoshes, to look to Shemayim, and remember that it's not the snake that causes death, but rather it's not the scorpions, but it's chait. And by looking to Shemayim, they will do tshuva, and they will they'll be healed from their illness. Now, what happened when that episode was over? Did Moshe Rabbeinu destroy the Nechash HaNechoshes? We know for a fact, no. It was not destroyed until many generations later. I think in the time of Chizkiyahu. I think the time of Chizkiyahu was first. Sort of, why did it take so many generations until the Nechash HaNechosh? What?
Wasn't Chizkiyahu with the Sefer HaRefuos?
That also. He also destroyed the Sefer HaRefuos. But if I'm not mistaken, he also destroyed the Nechash HaNechosh. So how could it be that this copper snake was in existence for so many years? Mm-hmm. This copper snake was a source of sin for Klal Yisrael. They began to worship it. Being that Moshe Rabbeinu made it was made from copper, the image of a snake. And it provided, and when people in the time of Moshe, they looked, they were healed. So people slowly began to assume that it had some type of divine power, and they worshipped. So why did Moshe foresee that this would happen? And immediately when this episode was over, he should have destroyed it. So the answer is because it was made L'Shem Shemayim. Something that you construct L'Shem Shemayim, although at this point in time it serves no function, you don't destroy it. We'll talk about the Mishkan. The Mishkan was built L'shem Shemayim, obviously, was the Mokim Hashruas Hashchina, and when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they came to Shiloh, they built the Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't say anywhere that it was destroyed. Who would want to destroy the Mishkan, the Krushim, the Adonim, and all the things that were made by Moshe Rabbeinu? It was put away in storage. It was put away in the chambers, different chambers in the Beis HaMikdash, upstairs, downstairs, along the sides of the... it was there. Why wasn't it destroyed? Why would you want to destroy something that was made L'shem Shemayim? Same thing, Nechash HaNechoshes, it served a function, but it was made L'shem Shemayim, he did not want to destroy it. What happened? Unfortunately, Klal Yisrael, they made a big mistake, they began to worship it. And it came a point in time when Chizkiyahu had no choice but to destroy it. Destroying it was not the right, it was not the ideal. It was because he had no choice. L'migdar Milsa, it was a source of sin, so he had no choice but to destroy it. So the Mepharshim take this concept, they apply it to the Bamos. This that it says here, that he did not destroy the Bamos, does not mean that at this point in time, people were offering Korbanos on Bamos. At this point in time, Klal Yisrael, they recognize that the Nachala, we here have arrived at the Nachala, the Beis HaMikdash, there's nowhere to go, and therefore it's Isser Bamos. No one's going to offer sacrifices upon these Bamos, but still we're not going to destroy it because they have Kedusha, and that's what it means. That turned into a mistake, because years later, people began to question different things in their lives, and they once again began to use these bamos to offer sacrifices, some L'shem Shemayim, sometimes not L'shem Shemayim, but the point is, he left it over. Other Mepharshim are not so generous in their understanding of this pasuk, and they learned that when it says here that he did not destroy the bamos, it means the people were actually still bringing sacrifices on the bamos, which is an avera, shchut echutz. Although it was l'shem Shemayim, they're doing it l'shem Shemayim, it's not permitted. Once there's a Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to offer korbanos in private bamos. Once the deep meaning, so we discussed many times, some Mepharshim want to learn this indication that people were not convinced that the Beis HaMikdash was the final resting place. Perhaps there's more another place where they're going to travel, and therefore it's permitted to offer korbanos. So it shows that people were not convinced that this is the last stop on their travels.
It doesn't say the word sarum is more implies
from like he says later, from inside, because he would have said Yitotsu or Shavru.
Okay, I hear you. So why this word?
Away from him that we.
I hear what you're saying. Why the word sorrow over the word other word, words, stronger words? Okay, but that
everybody's lifetime. The last lines. Yes,
right, most until the time of Chizkiyahu. Right, they're not able. So in each king, we have to study it. What it means. What is the meaning? Here is the lightest version. Here, by most of the other kings, where it says he did not take away the bamos, there it simply means people were actually bringing korbanos on the bamos. Here it does not. Lama Farshim say that's not what it means here in this context. Here it does not mean people were actually bringing sacrifice. They were not. People recognized. Look what it says in the pasuk above. They built a new mizbeach. In the previous psukim and pasuk ches is vaychadesh es mizbeach Hashem ashlufnei ulam Hashem. People felt we don't have to worry. We don't need to destroy the bamos. They're left over. It'll be like inspiration. It's such a medrash that says that when Mashiach will come, they will once again erect the mishkan outside the base hamilish. There'll be a museum where you can go to the Mishkan, and you'll see the Krashim, and the Adonim, and the Chotzer, and it'll be a base Medrash, or a base Tefillah. They'll have Minyanim there.
And then you'll be able to eat by the Klayas.
You'll be able to actually see the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the purpose? It'll be inspiration. But you're not allowed to bring Korbanos there. That's not the inspiration. So here too, the Bamos, they were not actually used. It was Lahavdil, like the Intrepid.
But the Malbim says, the word sorrow is Lashon Rabbah.
Yeah, right, because there were many Bamos.
So it makes a contrast to Malbim. The beginning of the Pasuk was what the Jewish people did.
Yeah.
The latter part of the Pasuk, the Sefer,
is
also himself. He brought his Karbonis to the base of
Malbim. Right.
So he says...
But the people... Right, there are two... As I told you, there are two Mahalchim. I don't know the name. I didn't get you the exact names. There are two, but there are two basic approaches to understand what the Pasuk is telling us when he did not remove the bamos. Either it means the bamos were there as a...
But sorrow, it doesn't mean he didn't remove, because sorrow is they didn't remove.
But he's under the influence. Okay, so you want this, okay, you're touching on another idea. You're touching on this theme, which in the art scroll they always mention, the difference between the king and the people. That the melech, he was a tzaddik, but all of the chasronos of the generation were not because of the king, it was the people. We mentioned this a few days ago, that the Malchus of Yisrael was just the opposite. The people were good. The kings were wicked. And the wicked leadership caused the people to stray. By Yehuda, it was just the opposite. The kings were always tzaddikim. It's the people were the problem. The people had problems, and they tried to convince their leader he should go a little bit to the left. So here... Yeah.
Is a tie-in, if you read the Malbim's Lashon,
that he was good.
Right.
Right. Okay, that's right. Okay, that's another idea.
So.
The Bamos Los means the people. He was a good person. The people were problematic. But also was a tzaddik. Rak levav osa hayosholim kol yomav. Pasuk Yudches.
In the prior parak,
Yudalit. Yeah. Right, so the contradiction. So the answer is the major bamos, but the small bamos. Right, they're going to have it by Yoshio the same contradiction. So it means there are different types of bamos. I don't have a good answer. I don't see a good answer. One is they were major bamos and there were small bamos. It was a new. Yeah. Okay. It's a point.
Maybe they built bamos in between.
Could be they rebuilt them. They rebuilt them. There was problem. Yeah, could be. I don't know the answer, but there is. It's a very important point you're making. There is a contradiction, and we're going to have the same contradiction when it comes to the next king, the successor of Asa, Yoshiyahu. There, it's even more pronounced. Where one place it's very clear that he removed all the bamos, and another place it says that he did not. Now, also, by the way, another answer to your question, the simple answer, the Mitsudos really addresses your question, and he says there that the bamos there does not mean the actual altars, it means the buildings. They were matzevos that were used for Avodah Zarah, and these different altars were housed in structures. The word bamos there means a structure like a church that was a home to Avodah Zarah. Bamos in this pasuk refers to a mizbeach that was out in the open that was used for Klal Yisrael to offer kabbonis to Hashem b'shas heter bamos. If you go back to Perek Yidalit, which pasuk was that? Perek Yidalit, pasuk Dalit. So take a look at pasuk. Look at the mitzudos in pasuk Dalit. Okay, he removed the ashachamonim, the sun gods. Okay, v'tisha melucha. Then it goes on. I'm sorry. In pasuk, let me find the mitzudos. Habamos, Pasuk Gimel. So there he says Habamos means Habotim. Bamos there is not translated like we normally translate it as an altar, but it means a house.
I think he did that because in Pasuk Beis it already said.
But he also asked Mizbuchos Hanechar v'Habamos.
So this would be a repetition. It means the houses as well.
But there when it says Nechar, the Bamos are not referring to Bamos that were used L'Shem Shemayim. Seemingly, when it says Mizbuchos Hanechar v'Habamos, Bamos means a platform. It could very well be that it refers there to a Bama that was used for Avodah Zarah. By Yishaveres HaMatzevos, right. For Avodah Zarah. And then when it says in Pasuk Gimel, that's Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis where it says Bamos, right? And then Davayos says Kol Yehuda, we call our Yehuda as Habamos, we say Chamonim, and the Mitzudas of Pasuk Dal doesn't say anything. Okay, I hear you saying it says it many times, but just one little idea we should be aware of, that Bamos does not always necessarily mean an altar. Bamos sometimes means a structure. Here we're clearly dealing with the Bamos that a platform. But it doesn't mean the actual thing that was used to offer korbanos. And there it refers to Avodah Zarah. Here it's referring to bamos that were used L'Shem Shemayim. But now there's a Beis HaMikdash and you're not allowed to bring a korban on a private altar. And that it says that he did not remove. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yudches. Vayaveh Eskot She'aviv V'Kodashah Beis HaLokim. Also was a tzaddik, he took all of the, he was very wealthy obviously, he was a king, he was very successful, and he dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash wealth. He gave over his personal wealth as a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. Vayaveh, he brought Eskot She'aviv, the holy things of his father, referring to Rechavam, to Shlomo, to David, referring also to Ot, maybe to Avia, the Kodashav, the Kod She'aviv, the Kodashav, his private things which he dedicated, Beis to Elokim, to the Beis HaMikdash, v'chesev zavchilim, he donated silver and gold and utensils. Pasuk Yutes. U'milchama lohoitza, this is a recap we learned before. U'milchama lohoitza atshnas shloshim v'chamesh l'malchus asa. And there was no war until the 35th year of the king of Asa. Now we mentioned this yesterday, this does not mean here the 35th year. Asa, by the way, was king for 41 years. He was king for 41 years, but when it says here 35, it means his 15th year. When it says 35, it refers to the beginning of Rechavam. Rechavam, Chazal view Rechavam, Avia, and Asa as one continuous Malchus. Rechavam, because Rechavam was the time when the Malchus split, and it was Asa's mission to restore the Malchus. Rechavam was king for how many years? We did this yesterday. For 17 years. Who came next? Avia. He was king for 3 years. That takes us to 20 years. After Avia, there was 10 years where it says that he did a Yosha Be'inei Hashem. He was a tzaddik. Then the next 5 years began problems, some problems. And then there's a machlekes and the mefarshim, if it happened in the similar like this pasuk, the 15th year of his malchus, 15th year, which was 35 years since Rechavam became Melech, which was also 35 years since the Malchus was divided, because the Malchus was divided immediately at the beginning of the reign of Rechavam. When Rechavam came Melech, that's when the Shevet Ephraim took for themselves Yeravam ben Nevat. So it was 35 years since Rechavam came to the throne, is when he went out to his first major war. With who? With Cush and with Gerar. And what happened in that war? He was very successful. What was the success? He took back from Cush what Shishak, Melech Mitzrayim, took away from Rechavam. Let's go back. In the time of the Malchus of Rechavam, there was a war. Shishak, Melech Mitzrayim, came to Yehuda and took away the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash, which was the wealth of Egypt. during the next couple of years, there was a war between Mitzrayim and Cush, where Cush conquered Egypt, and Cush now had in their possession all of the wealth of Egypt, and the Kisei Shel Shlomo. And now in the 35th year, 35 years since Rehoboam came to power, or 15 years since Asa came to power, he went to war against Cush and took back the Kisei Shel Shlomo and all of its wealth. Let's take a look at these mitzudos and Rashi pasuk Tev Zayin in the mitzudos David Tev Zayin. So one of the next accomplishments of Asa was he removed Macha. He removed his grandmother from her position. Aim Asa. It says the mother of Asa. It's not so. The mitzudos says it doesn't mean his mother. It means his grandmother. Aim of Haisa. V'al she God loso kara imo, because she raised him. His grandmother raised him. That's why she's called his mother. Migivira. He removed her from a position of authority. Miyois oid givira mashelas, from continuing to reign. Labal Tosis anoshim lavoida ascham, to prevent people from going astray after idols. Asher asasa, she made a miftzelis. A miftzelis means an abomination. Asher asasa, miftzelis comes from pitzel. Pitzel means to shudder, to shake. It means to shake, and it means that when a part of the form of avodah zarah, they would persuade you that if you're not going to bow down to the idol, they're going to kill you. So. Or okay, other related ideas to shaking, or when people realize how foolish they were, when they come to their senses, they call it a dragon. Okay, when the shavish comes from to shudder, when people come to their senses and they realize how foolish they are, scared into certain in bowing down to these idols. Okay, let's see what Asher Asa. Let's see what does it say in the mitzudos. The mitzudos Sion there is not here. Asher Asa al Asher Asa mifletzes. She made a mifletzes. V'hi demus ma. It's the image of something, a dragon. Lihios la avoidas kilulim. Uchmos she avoidas kilulim nikrom atzavim. What is called sad? Avodah Zarah is called sad because it makes people sad. You have faith. You have faith in your idol. And it doesn't help you. You invest, you give donations, and you bow down, you give your time and effort and money to your idols. And what does the idol do for you in return? Nothing. Just brings upon you sadness. Shavoid haskechavim mikroim atzavim al shem shematziv leiv avdeihem. It causes sadness in the hearts of those that worship it. Kein yikra mafzeles. Same thing, mafzeles. Why is it called a mafzeles? Ki mevi ro'oda. It brings terror. Okay, somehow this idol is the source of terror. Ki humiloshon pilotzos bi'asosni. Because pilotzos, you have terrified me with fear. So he took this idol that she made, and he destroyed it. He ground it up into dust. Vayodik asa dak dak. Vayishrev b'nachal kidron. Vatzolema sarfa v'hishlich afar. He burned it, and he threw the dust in nachal kidron. Ki efer avotzul chav masa b'hano. The ash of the zarv is also b'hano. Pasuk yitzayin. However, although he was a great tzaddik, he did not remove the bamos. The abamos asher hoyu asuyos l'shamayim. Similarly, the mitzvah is coming to address your question that it says before that the bamos were indeed removed. Those bamos that were removed back in Perek Yidal were the bamos that were l'shem avodah zarah. But the bamos that were originally made l'shem shemayim, he did not remove. Ulefi kasher nivne habayis neshu habamos b'chol makom l'zeh yichashav l'chet. This was considered a sin. So similarly, the mitzvah learns that not only were the bamos in existence, they were actually in use. Being that they were in use is a sin.
Could it be that we said before that Menashe Klein and Shimon joined?
Yeah.
So Loisarum Yisrael is not talking about Yehuda and.
So you want to say both bamos refers to the bamos that are l'shem Shemayim. He only removed the bamos from Yehuda, and the bamos that it says he did not take away were the bamos from Shevet Yisrael. Interesting. That's an idea. That's another approach. Okay. This definitely makes good sense. Yitches. Kodshei Aviv, he was a tzaddik, Asa, and he dedicated to the Mikdash the assets of his father, Ulai achash hekdish chaza ulokocha min ha-hekdish. So here it seems to indicate that he had, there were lapses in his righteousness. That after his father dedicated these things to the Beis HaMikdash, they were removed. He entered the Mikdash and he took it away. He took it for his private use. And then later, his father dedicated these things to the Mikdash, and then he came, he took it away during his early years. And now later in his life, he realized his mistake and he rededicated, he gave it back to its rightful owner, to the Beis HaMikdash. Ulai. Achar shehikdish, after his father designated them, sanctified them, chazar ulukacham in hekdish, he took it, he stole it from the Beis HaMikdash, vehevim osa lebeis Hashem, and now he restored it to osa, maybe their father, maybe his father, maybe Aviah took it away. So Aviah took away these things, took away what his father, grandfather, whatever it was, and now he went and he returned it to Beis HaMikdash. Umilchama, beino lebein melech Yisrael, there were no wars between him and the melech Yisrael, between Yeravam, Ben Avad, there was no war until at Shnas Shloshim Chamesh, at Soif Shnas Lamed Hey, Lamalchusas, until the end of his Malchus, until the 35th year, which means he's learning over here very simply that the 35th year of his Malchus, which would then indicate that he's referring to Basha. He's not Basha was even later on. I'm sorry, the Basha was earlier. He's referring to the end, 35 years into his Malchus, according to a similar reading, which is not what we're about to learn in the next parak. Because when he was king for 41 years, so 35 years would be 6 years before his malchus came to an end, which refers to a different milchama, a different civil war that took place, which we'll see later on. Okay, that concludes the mitzvus. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi, Pasik Tes Zayin, V'gamacha im osa hamelech yisvi migvir l'fisha osesa l'ashera mifletzes. What's a mifletzes? So he has a new translation, not like the Mitzudos, mafli leitzonusa. Unbelievable word. Doesn't mean terror. It means a wondrous leitzonus. That was yesterday's daf. Pasik compares a leitz and a novim. What's the pasik? A leitz, Hashem allows a leitz to be a leitz, but an onav yitein chein, Hashem grants chein. If a person wants to be a leitz, Hashem lets him be a leitz. Hashem opens up the door, but Hashem does not push him over the cliff. But a person who wants to be an onav, a yeri shemayim, Hashem grants him siyata deshmaya yitein chein. So here we have the word leitzonos. What is leitzonos? We discussed it a few times. The essence of a leitz is to take something, a concept, or anything for that matter, that is choshuv, and to degrade it. That's the essence of davening, learning Torah, Yira Shemayim. These are things that are choshuv, that are important, that are significant. And if a person comes along and makes a joke out of it, and it convinces people that these are not important matters, that is a leitz, to drag down things that are choshev. You have a person who is a respected person in society, and someone comes along and attacks him and makes him into a nothing, and tries to convince people that this person that you think is a dignified person is a good for nothing. His life is worthless. That is called a leitz. What's the opposite of a leitz? A mechonef, a flatterer. A flatterer who takes something which is narishka, which is foolish, which is worthless, and elevates it and puts it on a pedestal and tells people this is choshev. So avodah zarah is the ultimate form of leitzonis, or chanifa. I feel it's chanifa, but it also shows that if this is important, then serving Hashem is not important. So indirectly, by worshiping idols, you are being a leitz. You're making little of what is really valuable, and that's what he learns. Mifselis, the word mempei is mafli, a wondrous form of leitzonis. Let's win one more time. Pasuk Tzemegamacha Imasa Melach Hisim Megvir Lefish Asa Lasher Mefzelus Mafli Leit Sonusa Zachrus Asa Sola. What did she do? She made the aver of a male, and she had relations with the Avodah Zarah. She had marital relations with this Avodah Zarah. This was something which was very bizarre, obviously.
Very old Avodah Zarah. Very old, very ancient. Sure. Mother Gail.
And we know that Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos
are related.
Together, one being the license of
yes.
the other.
Avodah Zarah was the license for Gilui Arayos. The only way Chazal say, a very famous Chazal, the only reason why Chazal, Klai Yisrael made an Egel, it's a scary Chazal in the Midbar, was because they really wanted Gilui Arayos. They wanted to engage in forbidden relations, and that's why to legitimize it, you make a new religion. So in Chanani, that's a whole new taich in Avodah Zarah. V'abamos lo saru bamos yochid shehurgulu l'hakav aleim l'shamayim mishachar v'shilo ad shenivne habayis. From the time Shiloh was destroyed until the Beis Hamikdash was built, no v'givon, those 50, how many years was it? 57 years, I think it was. 57 years of Noi V'Givon until the Midrash was built. V'hayu oinshim aleim karis. Then it was permitted. But once the Midrash was built, it's no longer permitted. And now it's considered shechut echutz. The punishment for bringing a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash is karis. And this continued to go on after during the lifetime of Asa. Now here the Rashi brings the Seder Olam, which tells us, not like what we learned in the Mitzudos, that this 35th year refers to the 35th year of the Malchus of Asa, but rather refers to the 35th year since Rechavam became king. But Rechavam was only king for 17 years. That's right. 17 plus 3 for us, for 3 for Avia, and now 15 for Asa. Tanya b'Seder Olam, b'Shnas Shloshim v'Shesh l'Malchus Asa, the 36th year of Malchus Asa, which the first pasuk of Perek Tezayin, Allah Basha, Efshal Lemakain. Can it really be taken literally in the 36th year of Malchus Asa? But Basha already died at that point in time. The Haloi Meskvar Basha, Bishnas Chav of Malchus Asa. Basha already died in the 26th year of the Malchus of Asa. Kiddich Sivit says, Bishnas Chofav L'Asa, Melech Molach Ola Ben Basha. Ola, in the 26th year of the Malchus of Asa, a new king came to power in the Malchus of Yisrael, whose name was Ola Ben Basha. Elamat Hamalev. So what then does it mean here when it says the pasuk was the 36th year? It can't be, he's not alive anymore. Not dealing with ghosts. Someone told me that he goes many times to dinner in honor of people who die. You know, people, most institutions, they make dinners in honor of the living. But some institutions, they make dinners to give honor to people who...
Memorial
dinners. So he says he calls them ghost. The ghost of honor. There's the guest of honor and the ghost of honor. Memorial dinner. Seems kedai to come today, just for this. My learned the chiddush. Maybe we didn't learn divrei hayam, but at least we have a good joke. So what then does it mean over here in the 36th year of Melech Asa? The answer is Kneged Lamed Vav Shanim Shenischatein Shlomo Lebas Paro. This I told you a number of times, because in the 36th year, the war of Basha was meant to be the war when Asa would take back the Malchus from Yisrael. The only reason why it was taken away for 36 years was a punishment to Shlomo, who married Bas Paro for 36 years. He married her. He married her in his sixth year. Right, so he was 16 years old. He was 12 years old. Became king. Right, when he was 16 years old, he married her. Interesting. You know, this week's parasha is Bas Paro. Bas Paro. This week, you know, is everything is positive. She vatishlach hasamosa v'tikochecha. She went against her father. The summing to Bas Paro, and Shlomo also saw something in Bas Paro, but for him it did not work out very well. Shari kosav came the melachim vayivruchu shnei avodim l'shimi ad. He killed him. So he brings down the source. It says there with Shimon Gera. Okay, Shimon Gera, he cursed Shlomo, David, Ad Vayitzav Hamelech Espinoyahu Vayelech Vayivka Bo. So he went and he killed him. He was killed. David gave a command. It was last week's Haftorah. David gave a command to Shlomo on his deathbed that make sure that Shimon Gero, you haven't put to death. Because I was not able to do so in my lifetime, but make sure you do not let him go free. And this, when did Shlomo actually put him to death? They put him to death in the fourth year of his Malchus. And I'm sorry, the third year of his Malchus. And then it says, right afterwards, so he told Binoyo to kill him. After those 3 years, and after the fourth year, he took her. So that was the fourth year. And how long was he king for?
40.
For 40 years. So that means how long was he married to her for? For 36 years. So since he took her, since this event took place, he killed Shimi ben Gero in the third year of his Malchus, and immediately afterwards it says he took Bas Paro as a wife. That we assume took place in the next year, and then that's the fourth year, and there are 36 years left to go. He had her for 36 years. To correspond to those 36 years of Chet, the Malchus was divided. Uchinegdon lamed vav shanim nigzra gezera malchei aram lios sotnim al yisrael. They were adversaries. They were troublemakers. Those 36 years, Amalek Aram, in addition, they were a thorn in our side for 36 years. Uvacharoyna lipol biyad b'nei David, and it was meant to be that the very end, because the only reason, this is an important point he's making, that the only reason why the Malchus of Yisrael prevailed was because they had the support of Aram. In other words, the Malchus of Yisrael was a very weak Malchus. And it would have been, al pi derech hateva, very easy for the Melech Yehuda to overrun the Melech Yisrael and force everyone back under the Malchus of Yehuda. The reason why he was unable to do so for 36 years was because they had the support of Aram. And this is also part of the punishment. But now after 36 years, it was meant to, we're going to see in great detail in the next parak, it was meant to be that the king of Aram would also fall to the king of Yehuda. But by the end of the 36 years, David, it was only 16 years. Lemalchuso me'eshenof al zerech hakushi, biyado hishnas lamedvav, and it's therefore it's really the 16th year of his personal malchus. That was the same time. The 16th year was the same time when Zerah Hakushi fell biyado. Hushnas lamevav mishemes Shlomo. It was 36 years from the time that Shlomo HaMelech died. No, it's 36 years from the time Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, came to power. It was 36 years. That year was the end of when the Milcham of Kush and Gror was over. And Vishnas Yudvav L'Asa, in the 16th year of Asa, Karsu Bris, that's going on to the next parak. Karsu Bris Melech Yisrael Melech Aram La'alos U'Luskoros Ba'asa, he made a fatal mistake that instead of going to war against Aram, he made a bris with Aram and paid off Aram to help him conquer Yisrael. And what was the result? He lost both. The result was he did not conquer Aram, obviously, because he's paying him off, and he did not fully succeed in conquering Yisrael either, and the Malchus remained divided until Mashiach will come, until Sancheirv came and sent them into Golus. The Aseres HaShvatim, as a consequence of his failure, was lost from Klal Yisrael for all these years. Well, this course, but also he made a mistake. Shenemar, Vayotzios HaKesev Azav, he gave money. Loimar Kreis Bris Beini Uveinecha. So the gist of Rashi is that when it says here in the pasuk 36 years, it cannot possibly mean the 36th year of the Malchus of Asa, even though he was king for 41 years, because the king of Basha already died in the 26th year of his Malchus. It has to mean 36 years since Rechavam came to power, since Shlomo died. And the reason why the number 36 is significant because of the 36 years which he, Shlomo, sinned by marrying Bas Paro as a part of the punishment is a two-sided punishment. Number one, the Malchus will be divided, and the reason why they would have the power to remain divided was because Aram would be a thorn in the side of the Malchus of Yehuda for 36 years. But now it's an Es Mesugel, it's now a time for this to come to an end, and that's why Azaryohu ben Odad gives us a very strong warning. Be careful, you're going to have a very great Nisayon. Don't mess up. If you mess up, the consequences are eternal. There's going to be a loss of the Aseres HaShvatim forever. And unless you learn like the Man Yom, that one day they will come back. As a consequence of us's failure, look what happened to Klal Yisrael. 10 Shvatim were ultimately lost from Klal Yisrael. Isn't that a major failure? It's a terrible consequence. But that's what happened. It's a very sad Malchus. Let's now begin the parak.
Some of them said Shimon and
Bani. Some of them. We have a tradition that there's always going to be some survivors. There's always going to be in Klal Yisrael a remnant from every single Shevet. So there's definitely among us living today, without any question, people that if we knew their Yichus, maybe one day they'll come out with some type of DNA, some type of test. You can go to the lab and they'll test your blood. They'll tell you which Shevet you come from. They'll be able to tell you. I'm sure that they will come. They'll be able to take a blood test. And they'll be able to trace your yichus. They'll be able to tell you ever who your mother, grandmother, great grandmother, your whole yichus. They'll give you a whole computer printout of all your relatives through a single blood test. It's not so far fetched that will happen one day, something like that. Piderech Hateva. And but to this, there is a tradition that there are among us remnants from all of the 12 shvatim, but the majority of the shvatim have been lost from us. During the galus of Sancheirif. So that means that they will be able to do a DNA a test today. Probably 95% of Klal Yisrael are going to be from Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, and a very small percent are going to be from the other Aseres Hashvatim. Will they come back? What? And Kohanim and Levim. And Kohanim, but there are very few Levim. Many Kohanim.
Kohanim and Levim come from the same Shevet. So the DNA.
They come from the same Shevet, but when you want to break down the Shevet Levi into different groups, there's going to be very few Levim relative to the Kohanim. Because the time of Ezra, only a very small amount came, and the people in Babel were lost. Will the Aseres HaShvatim one day come back? That is a debate in the Gemara. There are two opinions. One opinion says yes, one opinion says no. That's a separate issue. Okay, now let's begin Perek Terzayin, Bishnas, Shlosh, Meshesh, Tamalchus, Asa, Ola, Basha, Melech, Yisrael, Al Yehuda. So now Basha. Now Basha was not the next king. Let's review the kings. There's the king that's missing. This Sefer Divayamim is only focusing on the Malchus of Yehuda. We're not going to give that much time to the Malchus of Yisrael. Who came after Yeravam? Came Nadav. His name was Nadav, the son of Yeravam. He was king for only 2 years. Short, 2 years. And after Nadav comes Basha. If I'm not mistaken, Yeravam was king for 22 years. And his son Nadav was king for 2 years. That takes 24 years. And now we come to Basha. Basha was king for another, for 22, for how many years?
It ought to be 12 years at
least. 12 years, because he died in the 24th year. Okay, we have to come with some timelines. But there's a missing king. Before Basha, there was Nadav, and it's not important for us to know what happened in his Malchus, and that's why it's not mentioned here, because we're focusing on the significance of this in the Malchus of Yehuda. So we have Basha, Melech Yisrael, he is now the king, and he decides, you know what, I'm going to wage war against the Melech of Yehuda. And what does he do? First of all, he has a very strong alliance with Melech Aram. He is supported by the king of Aram. Without the support of Aram, he has no chance. But he has Aram. Aram is supplying him with weapons, supplying him with soldiers, and with support. And he builds this thing called the Ramah. There are two interpretations for Ramah. Either it's a city. It was a fortified city that would serve as the staging area for the upcoming war. Or the word Ramah means a tower. He built a massive tower outside of Yerushalayim from where he can shoot missiles, set up radar stations, and hold all these high tech, the technology of the day, he was able to have an advantage against the city of Yerushalayim in this tower called Ramah. Levilti, what was the purpose? Teis yotze uvava, no one can go out, no one can come in. La'asa melech Yehuda. So what happened? What was the plan, the battle plan of Asa? So this was his big mistake. Asa should have had faith in Hashem and should have gone to war, rallied the troops, and gone out to war against the nation of Aram and Yisrael. Even though he was outnumbered, and he didn't stand a chance, al piderech hateva, this is exactly what Azariyahu and Odeh told him, don't worry. Wars are not fought by number, by power, by military strength. They're fought by the will of Hashem. Hashem wants you to win. Have faith in Hashem, just like you had faith in Hashem when you conquered Cush. Cush had a million soldiers, and you had no problem overcoming them. Same thing will happen here. Had he only listened to Azariyahu, he would have succeeded, the Malchus would have been restored, and maybe Mashiach would have come. And certainly the Aser Sashvatim would not have been lost from Klal Yisrael. But he failed in this test, and instead he decided he's going to attack Al Piderech HaTeva. What was his best plan? Well, he now is very wealthy, because what did Asa succeed in doing? He conquered Zerach, the king of Cush. He restored the wealth of Egypt. And he said, you know what, I'll take all of this wealth and I'll give it as a bribe to the king of Aram. Aram is up for sale. Why is Aram willing to help the kingdom of Yisrael? Because they're paying him. So you know what, I'll pay you more. Aram is for sale. We have now this enormous wealth. We'll give it to you, Aram, and that way you'll change your loyalty to us. And it worked. So Vayotzi also Ketzev Vizov, he took out the silver and the gold and the Oitzres Beis Hashem Beis HaMelech from his personal treasure house and from the Beis HaMidrash, from the Beis HaMelech. Vayishlach El Ben Hadad, he sent it to this person called Ben Hadad. He is the King Melech Aram. Hayoshev Bidar Nesek Lamar, saying Bris Beini Uveinech. First of all, he tells him some diplomacy. He says, you know, what you're doing is illegal. It's against one of the charter of the United Nations. What you're doing, you are supporting the Malchus of Yisrael. That's illegal. Don't you know that we have a treaty? My father, my grandfather, it's not exactly clear who the treaty was from previous days, made a treaty with Melech Aram that you would not support them, you would support us. So putting everything aside, what you're doing is illegal, and they're going to condemn you in the United Nations. So don't continue in this way. It's not going to be good for public relations. Bris beini uveinecho bein avi vein avicha. Furthermore, and if diplomacy is not going to work, a bribe will always work. That's for sure going to work. You know what? Hinei sholachti lecha kesef v'zahav, silver and gold. Therefore, lech, I want you to go hafer, anol, berischa, your treaty, your alliance with Es Basha, Melech Yisrael, v'ya'aleh me'aloi, and stand down. Remove yourself from assisting him, and that way the tower will no longer be supported and will be able to overcome it. So he took the bribe, he took the bait. Vayishma ben Hadad el Hamelech Asa vayishlach es sorei hachayolim ashelo el orei he listened. Hadad listened, vayishlach, and now he listened, he said, he went further, he actually sent his soldiers to help the king of Yehuda, vayishlach esor hachayolim ashalo elori Yisrael, vayaku, and they wiped out es Ioin, the es Don, the es Ovel Moyim, the es Kol Misknos Ore Naphtali, all of the storage cities of the cities of Naphtali. Vayhi kishmoya Basha, and when Basha heard that his ally, Aram ben Hadad, was no longer supporting him, but was supporting his enemy, he had no choice but to cease and desist. Vayechdal nibnos es Ramah, he stopped building this tower. Vayashpes es Malachto, and he ceased from his labor in attempting to wage war against the Malchus of Yehuda. So it was a success, but it was a major failure. His plan of bribing Ben Hadad, Melech Aram, it worked. They were out of danger, but it's not the way Hashem wanted it to come about. and that it was a very great tragedy. Let's take a look over here. What?
Yeah, that's supposed to be reliant upon miracles.
So in this instance, in Ochinami, you're not supposed to, but in this instance, he was warned by the Navi, Azaryahu, that he should rely. There's obviously a lot more. There's a lot more than modern day questions. Here we're dealing with Nevi'im, prophets, and the Malchus was never meant to be divided. It was a very big Chil Hashem was divided, and in fact, Achia Hashiloni told Yeravam that it's temporary. It's a Feresh Apostolic in Malachim. It's only supposed to be for a short period of time. It seems the numbers were known. 36 years have arrived. It was an Ace Mesugal for the Malchus to be restored. He was encouraged by Azaryahu, take it back, and don't make, it was a very big chet to take the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash, which they worked so hard to get back, from Zerach, which was taken by Shishak, which was originally in the Beis HaMikdash, and to give it all away, that was also a Chil Hashem. So there were a lot of, you're right, Peter HaTeva, you'll say he acted properly. Ain't Semcho al Hanes. Why should we risk our lives when we can...
He should have,
it seems like he should have went to war.
Why?
Because he was supposed to take back, he was required to take back the Malchus to David. The Malchus belongs to David. The Malchus is the time came. Their right to have Malchus, Seber Malchus, has expired. 36 years are over. The time has come to we have to return, and he should have brought that about. Obviously, there are more details of how he should have done so, but he did not go in that path. He went in the path of Derech HaTeva, the political approach. He took all the wealth of Klal Yisrael, he gave it as a bribe to Ben Hadad. Hadad accepted the bribe, he turned sides, and then the Malchus of Yisrael stopped fighting, and things remained the way they were. There was a Malchus of Yisrael, Malchus of Yehuda, they were separate. Hadad was independent. They were paid off to not to make trouble. What would have been had he not given them the bribe, then Klal Yisrael, then he would have went to war. Aram would have been destroyed, would have been defeated. There would have never been a source of tzar for Klal Yisrael ever again. He would have succeeded in taking back the Aseres HaShvatim. There would have then been one Malchus. Aseres HaShvatim would never have been lost. And Mashiach probably would have come somewhere along the line. Now, again, like if you look at it today, in 2013, coming up to 2014, and there's a difficult situation with Iran, how are you going to deal with it? Obviously, you can't use this as a blueprint, how to deal with the situation. We don't have among us Nevi'im, and we don't know if we have the right emuna. You know, there are obviously different issues in every generation. But at the time, this was the right thing to do.
Okay. Yom Kippur War, they should have gone up court instead of the.
We don't know. You can't. You know.
There's no Navi.
We don't have Nevi'im today. We don't have Nevi'im today, and that's the big tzar of Golos. You really don't know what to do. You don't know what. After everything is over, then you can look back and say this happened, that happened. But you don't really know. We don't really know. Okay, let's go take a look at the Mitsudos and Rashi. These two psukim. The Mitsudos, David, Pasik, Aleph, B'shnash, Shlesh, and V'shesh. Okay, now let's go very quickly. Here, over here, the Mitsudos bring down the same Medrash, Seder Olam, that Rashi brought down in the end of the previous panel. Let's go through very quickly. B'shnash, Shlesh, and V'shesh. Amr B'Seder Olam, Hamulchama, Shoysa, Labash, Imoso, Hi, Hoysa, B'shnash, Shesh, Esrei. This war was not in the 36th year of the war, in the Malchus of Asa, but it was in the 16th year. How do we know that? L'Asa, Ki lo chai basha ad lamed vav l'Asa kimasha amar b'melach mav, because he only lived until the 36th year of the Malchus of Asa. Asa was king for 41 years. He did not live that long. He died much earlier, so it's not possible for him to have been around at that point in time. Umin minyan lamed vav shanim. So what then does it mean here, 36 years? He me'esh nechlaka Malchus based David. It's a time when Rechavam came to power, when the Malchus was divided. ki rechav molach yud zayin shanim ve'avia b'no gimel shanim hare nishlamu lamed vav shanim. So 36 years comes to an end b'yud vav l'asa in the 16th year of Asa. Ulefi shayy Shlomo chosen paro b'mispar lamed vav shanim. Since Shlomo was the son-in-law of Paro for 36 years, keep himself himself. So, because after 4 years of his malchus nasa, he married her umolach mem shana, and he was king for 40 years. That brings us to a total of 36 years. According to this calculation, nigzera shetecholek malchus beis David uruya hoysolachzar beyud vav leasa. It was fitting that it should be restored in the 16th year of Asa. V'yal shenishan, and due to the terrible mistake of putting his faith, reliance upon the king of Aram, shenishan al melech Aram k'mash amal lemata lezeh loy chazra u'masha kasav l'malchus asa. This that it says that it was the 36th year of the malchus asa. What does that mean? It's not the 36th year of the malchus asa. It was in the 16th year of the malchus asa. Rotzul Aymar l'tchilas ha-malchus. It refers not to his malchus, but the malchus that started with Rechavam. Chazal view these three kings as one malchus: Rechavam, Aviah, and Asa. Rotzul Laimar l'tchilas ha-malchus asher molach bo Asa ki hascholas ha-malchus ahi al shev yud levad hoya b'nei Rechavam. It was a new version of the malchus. David and Shlomo was a different malchus, because that malchus was over the entire Klal Yisrael. Now the malchus has been divided, so it's a new malchus starting with Rechavam, who was 36 years into this new malchus. From that new start, he was 36 years. So what happened? Now there's going to be a war. The king, the Basha, he builds a tower, Es Haramah, Migdal Govoa, a very large tower, Mul Share Yushalayim Lahashlech Menu Avonim Liyotziba, to throw missiles from that tower to anyone that tries to enter or exit Yushalayim. Vayale Meolai. So what does the king do? What does Asa do? He sends a bribe to Ben Hadad Melech Aram, and he tells him that you should annul your treaty with the king of Israel, but instead have a treaty with me and help me out. I want you to fight against them, so that they, and instead of fighting against me, fight against them. He took the bribe, and it worked. Look at the Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Dalid Vayishma Ben Hadad. Hadad listen, v'loy pasku malch Aram liyos soitnim liyisrael. Wait, did I skip? V'loy pasku malch Aram liyos soitnim liyisrael at shemes ochas. Because of this mistake, this is a tragic mistake, Rashi, over here Rashi is coming to emphasize another consequence of not having faith in Azaryahu, that there was a treaty at this point in time between the king of Yehuda, Asa, and Aram, but this treaty was only short-lived. And shortly thereafter, there were wars between the king of Aram and Klal Yisrael. And Aram was a sitna, was always a tsara against Klal Yisrael until the time of Ochaz. Much, much later, it's already, Ochaz is already more than 200 years later. Sh'ad Shemes Ochaz. V'shnas Gimel Ochaz, Karsar Bris Melch Yisrael Melch Aram, La'alas U'l'skaros B'Ochaz, V'lohoya Zuchus B'Ochaz Sheyiplu. And at that point in time, the Ochaz did not biyado v'naflu shneim biyad tiglas pil eser melech Ashur. At that point in time, the king of Aram was wiped out by Melech Ashur. He was the one that came before Sancheriv. So we see that another consequence. Is that we had an enemy for many, many years afterwards. We had a chance to wipe out Aram. We didn't do so. And that was another serious consequence. That is one another very important thing here that's not mentioned in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, but it's mentioned in Sefer Melachim, and it's discussed, and especially this being discussed now in modern times. It says here in Pasuk Hey, Vayi Kishma Basha Vayichtal Mudos as Harama Vayashpes Es Melachta. Okay, no, okay, we're not going to have time to do now. We'll just read one pasuk. We'll just touch upon the issue. We'll do more around time. The Asa Hamelech Lokach Es Kol Yehuda after Basha stopped building the tower. Also, Lokach has called Yehuda. He sent out all the people of Yehuda, and they demolished the tower. Now, to demolish the tower was a major work, a major effort. Everyone in Klal Yisrael had to participate in destroying this tower. Vayisu, they carried away es avnei haramah, v'es eitzecha, the stones of the ramah, of the tower, v'es eitzecha, asher bona basha, vayiven bohem es geva, v'es hamitzvah. And with the stones, he built two cities, Geva and Mitzvah. That's what was done. Now, in Sefer Melachim, it says a few extra words. No one was exempt from service. Every single living member of Yehuda had to participate in demolishing this tower and bringing the stones to build Geva and Mitzvah. Including who?
Yeshiva.
The Yeshiva Bachrim. All the Yeshiva Bachrim. Now, this is not a war. And by the way, there's a discussion that a civil war between Klal Yisrael, between Yehuda and Yisrael, is not called a Milchemes Mitzvah. A Milchemes Mitzvah, afilu kala michupasa, has to go to a Milchemes Mitzvah. There's no exemptions for people. It says beferish. Chasa michupasa, the kala michupasa. It says women have to go to a Milchemes Mitzvah. But if it's not a Milchemes Mitzvah, then already there are exemptions. That's the parsha of Mihu Ish Hayervel Rachalevav. If you build a new house, if you get married, so on and so forth, then you have all the exemptions to avoid the draft, but not a Milchemes Mitzvah. Not a Milchemes Mitzvah. Question is, all the Farshim is basically every single war is a Milchemes Mitzvah. What's not a Milchemes Mitzvah? Many argue today that every single going to the army today is Milchemes Mitzvah. It's Milchemes Mitzvah to protect Eretz Yisrael. So there's no excuse, I'm not getting into politics, no excuse not to join. Listen, I didn't go to the army, I want to talk. So what then is not a Milchemes Mitzvah? Every Milchama you'll tell me is a Milchemes Mitzvah. So the answer is the only thing that's really not a Milchemes Mitzvah is a civil war.
So what's going on in Israel today?
A civil war.
That's a
not a Milchemes Mitzvah. Fakert, the Tzionim, the Mizrachim. Okay, but this wasn't even a war. This was a public project. The project to build cities, to demolish the tower. Maybe you'll say that it was some type, maybe you'll say that it's also part of war because we have to take down the fortification of Yisrael. Maybe it'll gather strength, it'll come back, it'll take back the tower. So it's sakana, it's part of war. Either you'll tell me it's part of war to demolish the tower, but it's at best a milchama between the malchus of Yehuda and the malchus of Yisrael, which according to all opinions is not a milchemes mitzvah.
They were building cities.
Oh, so that's even worse. The only good thing you can say is it's part of war. We have to demolish the tower because the tower is a sakana for the malchus of Yehuda. Maybe the malchus of Yisrael will regain strength and will take back the tower and will once again be at a state of war. So to demolish the tower requires the military. It's a military operation. So everyone has to go. Okay, it may be considered war, but it's not called Milchemes Mitzvah because this war is between two different branches of Klal Yisrael, Yehuda and Yisrael, and that, according to all opinions, is not called Milchemes Mitzvah. Who was in the draft to participate in this public project? Everyone, including the Talmidei Chacham, all of the yeshiva students. And for this, Chazal are extremely critical of Asa. Another very tragic mistake, and they attribute what we're going to learn in the next program that he got ill. His feet, he suffered from problems with his feet for the remainder of his life, and this is not just his feet, it's symbolic of what Chatoim had committed, and they make a direct relationship between this chait of drafting yeshiva students when it was not necessary and his illness.
We're building new towns and apartments.
Whatever, however you, they seem to learn, most Mepharshim seem to learn that's secondary. The main goal was to demolish a strategic danger to Klal Yisrael.
So
it was viewed as a war.
If you have to have everybody taking care of it, you're talking Malchus Yehuda against Yisrael, and Yisrael must have had more, we know they had more soldiers.
But it seems they were weaker, even though we learned in the very beginning, when the Malchus was first divided between Rechavam and Yeravim divided the Malchus, Rechavim had double, at 800,000, Yeravim had about 800,000, and Rechavim had 400,000. That was 36 years ago. From Rashi, it appears that over the 36 years, they were weakened. We learned many defected. During the time of Asa, many came over, they were defected, they were very weak, they were weak, and the only reason why they had any standing at all was because of Aram. So they were very weak, and yet he drafted everyone to participate in this project, and that was considered to be a fatal mistake. What? They killed, right? They went to war, they killed, right? They killed 500,000. 500,000 of the 800,000 were killed. So that was already 500,000 less, and it's only 36 years. So it was a very short period of time. And that happened. Really, that happened even more recently, and many defected.
Agunos,
he was very cruel. Aviyah was very cruel, and he let the bodies decay for 3 days before people can view the bodies, and they could not recognize. Okay, so let us stop here.